हरिः ओम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुते वसुतं देवं हंस चाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोधीना खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकःकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसिनः श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः।
So in the fourth chapter of the Gita, we're actually seeing the main part of the teaching, which is known as Jnana Yogaha. Oh, before that I forgot Sadashiva Samarambha. Om Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Om. So, we were seeing the main part of the teaching of the fourth chapter, which is Jnana Yoga, and the chapter itself was titled Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga, which means the pursuit and attainment of spiritual knowledge, right? So what was that knowledge? It was given in the 18th important verse that which we had completed before. Karmani akarma yapashyet, right? And we discussed in length about that verse, right? And this jnanam was talked about, and it is basically about clearly knowing the difference between the two parts of our personality. Every individual is a mixture of two components from Vedantic angle. Through the scriptural study, we come to know about these two components. The first component, which is very well known to us, is called the Ahankara component, which consists of the body, mind, sense organs, which are all made up of matter, except that some part is sthula matter, some part is sukshma matter. We saw all this in detail, and they are all subject to change, and this body-mind complex has borrowed consciousness from the Atma, and thus with borrowed consciousness, the body, which is otherwise achetanam, is now chetanam, right? So remembering the example of what we constantly experience, that is the moonlight on a Purnami night, moon is bright, but the brightness does not belong to the moon, it belongs to the sunlight, right? It's a reflected light, right? So our body-mind complex is also like moon, which does not have consciousness of its own, but it has got borrowed consciousness. And because of this borrowed consciousness, now the body is alive, right? Unlike a dead body or any other external matter, right? And this sentient body-mind complex is called Ahankara. And if the body-mind complex has got borrowed consciousness, there must be someone to lend that consciousness. So, like if the moon has got borrowed light from somewhere, there should be a original lender, right? Very, very important. So, which is that original lender? The original lender is the Atma, right? We also refer to the lending principle Atma as Sakshi, right? Sakshi Chaitanyam. So, therefore, behind every body-mind complex, there is the Atma, the consciousness principle, which is the lender of consciousness. And the Atma is not only behind one body, very, very important concept, but it is behind all the bodies. Just as one sun lends the sunlight not only to one planet, there are several planets and all the planets borrow from one Suryaha. So the borrowing planets are many, the lending Suryaha is Ekaha. Similarly, in this place itself, we have, in our world, we have millions of bodies, right? Millions and billions. But there is only one Atma behind it. So, Ahankaras are many, but there is only one lending principle, lending Atma. This Atma Ekaha is a very, very important concept that is discussed in the Purva Mimamsa. If you remember, in the very first session of introduction to Vedanta, I talked about the 12 different philosophies, right? And in that, in Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, etc., we discussed in detail. And Uttara Mimamsa, I don't know whether I mentioned Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, this is a very, very important concept, or Advaita Vedanta. This Atma being one, blessing all the anatmas is a very, very important concept in Advaita Vedanta. Now, many of the other philosophies differ here, right? So, once we are all very familiar with Advaita Vedanta, then you can try and understand the other philosophies. Of course, I said 6 of them will be Jainism and Buddhism, 4 Buddhisms and 2 Jaina Matam, and the rest of it is, you know, Sankhya, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, etc. So much of discussion happens on Nyaya and Vaisheshika in Panchadashi, in Brahma Sutras, etc., where all these things are discussed, different concepts. Now, we in Advaita Vedanta, we are very clear that Atma Ekaha, right? And Anatmas are many, and it is one Atma which is blessing or lending consciousness to Aneka Atma, right? And so we sometimes use the word reflected consciousness. Sometimes we use the word enclosed consciousness. Sometimes we use the word borrowed consciousness. There are very, very important differences between some of these terminologies that we use, but they are for advanced Advaitic study, so we don't have to bother about it. So we just need to know there is original consciousness, which is Atma, which is lending consciousness to all the other anatmas, right? So, when I use the word I, what happens is, we refer to the mixture of ahankara and atma. They are intimately together, but they are absolutely opposite in nature, diagonally opposite in nature. Ahankara is finite, right? It is located. For instance, you are sitting here. So, you are located here, or somebody is sitting and listening to the webinar. They are located in that particular place, right? But anatma is not like that, right? So one is parichinnam, another is aparichinnam, we say. Ahankaras are aneka, many in number, whereas atma is one. Ahankara is subject to travel before death as well as after death. Ahankara is the moving principle. So it is a chala tattvam, whereas atma is achalam. Why is it achalam? Because it is sarvavyapi, it is there everywhere. Atma is all pervading, right? Ahankara is karta and bhokta, therefore helplessly under the destiny called prarabdha, right? Ahankara is within the helpless grip of punyam and papam, right? And punyam and papam are invisible, right? Very, very important. In fact, that is why we don't even know, we cannot predict what is going to happen tomorrow, right? Many regional languages as well as Tamil, we have this saying, Polachi Kadanda, we will see tomorrow, which means if I am alive, we will see, right? So, this is a very common statement that traditionally you will find Hindus using it, and more so in India. I am sure somebody who is not familiar with our culture will not be able to understand this saying, right? That is because, why do we say that? The punyam and papam is invisible, so we don't know what is fructifying, right? Now, Swamiji always likes to compare life to a boxing tournament, right? It's a boxing tournament in which there are two boxes. One is ahankara and the other is karma, right? So, the papa punya karma. In this ahankara, our ahankara is in a disadvantageous position, right? Ahankara cannot see the karma. So, it's like a boxing bout where one of the boxers is blindfolded, okay, and is constantly fighting with the other boxer. That boxer is completely aware of the karma, right? Because he is the, you're imagining one boxer to be the karma and the other boxer to be the ahankara, right? So, what kind of a bout will it be, right? I'm looking up and down, suddenly you get a punch from the right, I don't see the punch, right? So, suddenly something comes up in life, right? Sometimes, similarly, something good also happens all of a sudden from somewhere, right? So, both you get, bouquets and brickbats, right? So, thus ahankara is karta bhokta, the miserable samsari, whereas atma is akarta abhokta and therefore asamsari, right? So, there are several distinctions between them, but what is important is the jnani has understood this difference. And not only has he understood, he has practiced long meditation and nididhyasanam, called nididhyasanam, to internalize the teaching and learn to claim the Atma as myself. Right? So normally we claim the ahankara as myself, right? That's why when we give our visiting card, we give a name and what we have achieved, etc. That is referring to the ahankara. Obviously, for vyavahara, when we speak for transactions, you need to associate with the ahankara, right? But the jnani knows his real self, right? Like the Shruti playing in the tambura in a music concert, the jnani knows constantly that he is the Atma. So he is identifying himself with the Atma, right? Very, very important. And he uses the ahankara or the body only for worldly transactions, right? And he always remembers, I am not the owner. I should never entertain ownership. Bhagavan has gifted this for temporary use, for gaining spiritual knowledge, for only gaining jnanam. That is the primary purpose. So the body is a gift to me, right? Similarly, the ahankara is surrounded by few possessions like family, property, profession, etc. Now, very, very difficult to practice, but very, very practical is, use the family for serving and growing. Family is a gift from the Lord for spiritual growth, right? Because we are sacrificing a lot for the sake of family members, for the sake of spouse, aged parents, children. In family life, in the name of duty, I get an opportunity to do sacrifice, yajna. Every sacrifice I do is helping me in my spiritual journey. So the family is also a temporary gift. I can lose any member at any time. When I don't have control over my own body, how can I hope to have control over other people, right? Very important. Now, they have their own free will. They have their own prarabdha. And therefore, they have their own ahankara and mamakara. All these things, a jnani carefully avoids, right? Even a grihastha jnani is able to distance himself, right? Very, very important. And we discussed such a person, what is he called? A sthita prajna. In second chapter, we dealt with it in detail, right? And we looked at the characteristics of a sthita prajna. We got the description of the sthita prajna from verses 54 to 72 of chapter 2, right? So, Krishna says this jnani is a liberated person while living in this life itself. He is not waiting for liberation or moksha to come after his death. No. While living, he is liberated. Such a person is called a Jeevan Muktaha. He is not waiting to go to Shivaloka or Vishnuloka for liberation. Again, a difference between Vishishtadvaitam and Advaitam. Right? We don't wait for another loka to get liberation. Right? Here and now, liberation is promised in the form of Jeevan Mukti. Right? So, we can enjoy this in this life itself. Right? So, Krishna wants to say that jnanam can be gained either remaining in family life or by taking to a monastic lifestyle. Both options are there. One can remain in family and of course try to find time for Vedanta. If the family is a cooperative family, we'll be able to spend 1 hour listening on Sundays. If we are having some more punyam, then we will be able to revise it before the next class. If we have some more punyam and we also pray and, you know, sincerely saying that let me be on the spiritual journey, slowly God, karma will also help us in spending more time understanding and, you know, getting, progressing more in the spiritual journey, right? So, very, very important, right? So, if we have got favorable punyam, then we can do shravanam, then mananam, then nididhyasanam, right? Repeated listening and repeated understanding. And then there are other texts like Brahma Sutra where it is analyzed so much so that we will get conviction once we start analyzing and understanding, right? So, here what Krishna wants to say is, Grihastha Jnani also enjoys liberation. Sannyasa Jnani also enjoys liberation. And both are only a state of mind, and there is no difference in the state of the liberated mind at all. There is only a state of difference between a liberated and an unliberated mind. A liberated mind is a light mind, and my mind becomes my greatest blessing. Because jnana makes the mind beautiful, enjoying wonderful virtues like love, compassion, peace, confidence, all of these, right? So jnani enjoys a light mind. An enlightened mind is a lightened mind, and that is described in verse 20, and grihastha jnani was talked about in verse 21 and 22, which we completed, right? Or we were discussing 22. So sannyasa jnani is being talked in verse 22, and this is what we were saying: yadrichcha labha santushtaha dvandvatito vimattaraha samasiddhava siddhaucha krutvapina nibadyate, right? So yadrichcha labha santushtaha, a sannyasi is not attached to anything. He does not have any expectation in life. Whichever prarabdha brings, he will take it, whatever it brings. Not only that, he welcomes also. A very food that, you know, he consumes, he doesn't have any rigidity, right? Whatever comes, whether it is cold, whether it is warm, whether it is delayed a little, he doesn't have any expectations beyond that, right? And jnani says that if it comes, fine, good food, otherwise also fine, right? Very, very important. So reducing the expectation from the world, right, is very important for peace of mind. So look at the solutions. They are all internal, right? So reducing the expectations from the world. And last week I discussed about Ajagara Vritti and Madhukara Vritti, right? The two types of sannyasis. And Yadrichcha Labha Santushtaha is accept whatever is obtained by chance, right? And he will ask Bhiksha. One family may give him Bhiksha. Another one may insult and close the door, right? And he is ready to accept that also. In another house, very good food comes. Another house, they may give yesterday's food, right? Now, he does not curse his prarabdha. A grahastha jnani must practice this at home. A sannyasi jnani in bhiksha, but a grihastha jnani must practice this at home. That is, contributing to the well-being of our children, right, is important. But the children's behavior, how it will be, we cannot influence once they are adults, right? Up to a certain age, yes, we can correct, right? We have to keep quiet after that. What dress they wear, what kind of friends they have, right? As Swamiji says, how many earrings they wear, right? Because that's all modern way of dressing today, right? We have to quietly accept whatever. It can be in any area, whether it is studying, whether it's their character, or how they speak, whatever it is, right? We have to accept as they, as it happens or unfolds. Dvandvatitaha, beyond the pairs of opposites, because the life experiences are continuously favorable and favorable. So it's called dvandvam. Manam, apamanam, labam, nashtam, association, disassociation, insult or praise, continuous flow of opposite experiences. Jnani has trained the mind to reduce the reaction to them. If you remember, FIR, reduction, frequency, intensity and recovery period after an emotional impact, whether it's good or bad, gradually starts coming down. Vimatsaraha, he's got out of the competitiveness, which is the nature of ahankara. Ahankara constantly compares, right? What has the neighbor bought, right? What has the other child got? What rank has he got? What marks have I got? What promotions have I got? How much have I achieved in career vis-a-vis somebody else? Always the competition is with respect to somebody else, right? Because ahankara feels good by comparing with others. Comparing we often do, and many people also ask the question to Swamiji, I believe, saying, I am very religious, but I am facing lot of problems. My neighbor does not even do puja, does not go to temple, does not do sandhya vandanam, but everything good is happening to him, right? People are more worried about somebody else than looking at themselves, right? Now, everybody has their own journey, right? Prarabdha, their karma, everything, and what they are doing. So, we should never, this is a bad, the competitiveness is something that is impacting the spiritual growth, that is vimatsaraha. Right? And sometimes these lead to varieties of problems like jealousy, hatred and anger towards God, right? Because of this intense competition, right? Jnani accepts ahankara without comparison, right? And that is an important point, right? Comparison leads to competition, and sometimes competition can lead to corruption also. If you see the field of sports, music, everything, right? When you have competitions with a lot of money, etc., it also leads to corruption, right? So it can also bring out the worst, right? Including murder can happen, right? Jnani does not have the problem of comparison. If his ahankara is superior, he congratulates without any reservation, right? Otherwise also, he's okay, right? So, here Krishna is giving, he's actually telling that, why is he talking of the glory of jnanam, right? Because he wants people to be attracted to moksha. A person who is liberated is beyond all of this, and he can discover purnatvam, right? That is why Krishna is talking about all of these. And sama siddhav, right, means whatever projects he undertakes, a jnani, can be a grihastha jnani or a sannyasi jnani, who in a grihastha jnani's case, he will have children, raising children itself is a big project, getting them educated, getting them married, right? Other projects also will be there. Then a sannyasi can have several projects based on what he is doing for Loka Sangraha, right? So, in the third chapter of the Gita, we saw he might have an ashrama, gurukula, matha, whatever is his nature, according to that, he will do Loka Sangraha, right? So, Dayananda Swamiji used to always go everywhere and speak and, you know, have lot of crowd, etc. Chinmayananda Swamiji was like that. There could be yet another Swamiji who knows a lot but who is not able to speak that well and attract people, etc. But these things don't bother a jnani. Very, very important. So, siddha va siddhaucha, whether his projects are successful or not, he is samaha. But very important, he is not taking up a fatalistic attitude here. When he is doing the karma, he is enjoying the karma and he is planning and executing to the best of his ability. Right? That he is doing as with Ishwar Arpana Bhavaha. You must always remember that, right? And Kritvapi na nibadhyate. Even if he is engaged in activities, a jnani's karma will not produce punyam or papam because he does not have any ahankara abhimana. That means he is not associating himself with his ahankara. Therefore, whatever he is doing is not going to produce any punyam or papam. Right? So, and an important point here, Swamiji always tells, and I think it's from the Shankaracharya's Bhashyam of the Gita, is when jnani's karma doesn't produce any punyam or papam, what do we mean? Right? So, if there is a jnani and we harm the jnani, right, the papa karma will come onto the person who is harming the jnani. Similarly, if we do good to the jnani, and we serve the jnani, right, then the punya karma will come to the person who is serving. So, this is what Shankaracharya gives in his Bhashyam of the Gita itself, right, very important. So, therefore, in Shastra, jnani's karma is compared to a roasted seed. Very beautiful example, right. So, for all practical purposes, unroasted and roasted seeds will look the same. But, the roasted seed will not germinate to become a plant. It will not produce a plant. Whereas the other one will produce. So, jnani, by the power of knowledge, he has roasted all the karmas. Right? Because of that he does not have selfishness or ragadvesha. Whatever karma he does is only for the sake of loka sangraha. So, his karmas are roasted in the fire of knowledge. Therefore, he will not acquire any agami punyam and agami papam. So, this agami punyam and papam, which is exactly what I just mentioned, that it is mentioned in Shankaracharya's Bhashya, that it will go to the person who is actually causing the problem or the good thing, whatever it is, right? So, agami punyam and agami papam, in case you want to go back and revise, it is under the session titled Laws of Karma. You can go and revise that. It must be in the 9th or 10th session of Introduction to Vedanta. Okay. So, therefore, jnani does not produce any punyam or papam. Very important point. So, the meaning is fully content with whatever is obtained by chance, unaffected by the pairs of opposites, and remaining free from jealousy, he is equanimous in success and failure. Though engaged in action, he is not bound. Okay. Continuing. Gata sangasya muktasya. Gata sangasya muktasya. Jnanavastita chetasah. Jnanavastita chetasah. Yajnayacharatakarma. Samagram praviliyate. So, in the previous two shlokas, 21 and 22, Sanyasi Jnani was described. Now, Lord Krishna comes back to Grihastha Jnani once again, right? Because why Krishna wants to talk about Grihastha Jnani? Because he wants to focus on Grihastha Jnani. And this is a very, very important point, okay? The Upanishads talk more about Sanyasi Jnani, and therefore, it is very important. Swamiji always talks to the Grihasthas this way. There is an order in which you have to study Vedanta, right? It's an aside note, but it's important to mention here. First, you go through Tattva Bodha because it's kind of a glossary of terms, right? The next, you go through Gita. Because Gita is the one which is where the main characters are all Grihastha and the author is also a Grihastha. They are all Jnani, right? Or they are on the spiritual journey, right? So, it is very, obviously Krishna and Vyasa and all are Jnanis and then Arjuna is also in the spiritual journey. Now, it is very important that Grihasthas go through Gita first rather than go through Upanishads. So, only when they go through Gita, they are able to appreciate and get a big picture, and then when they go to Upanishads, that also there is an order in which we have to do the Upanishads. Slowly, from Mundaka Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, etc. There are reasons why that order, right? And when that particular verse in Gita comes, I will talk about it also, right? So, Gita focuses on Grihastha Jnani, whereas Upanishads talk about Sanyasa Jnani. In Gita also, Sanyasa Jnanis are talked about, but it is less. Right? So here Arjuna is a Grihastha, right? Krishna is a Grihastha. Their dialogue has been combined and authored by Vyasacharya. Vyasena Gratitam Purana Munina. So, Vyasa is the compiler, Vyasa is also a Grihastha. So, Gita is Grihastha Mayam, the teacher, disciple, compiler, right? So, therefore, Gita focuses on Grihastha Jnani, right? So, Lord Krishna comes back to Grihastha Jnani, who is he? Jnana Vastita Chetasaha. He always tries to remember the teaching. That's why we say Nididhyasanam, revision of the Gita teaching, right? Continuous revision of the Gita teaching. Between two classes, if we can revise the notes, right? And after the class, if we remember the important points and note down, it becomes very, very important. Otherwise, what happens is, by the time we get to the 18th chapter, we would have even forgotten the title of the chapter. It happens, right? So, it takes a while. And also, when we do these summary sessions, it is good to take the summary session printouts and file them separately or write those notes separately so that you can keep revising, right? Very, very important. So, we keep on doing the revision and Krishna also keeps on revisiting this for that reason only, right? And Krishna himself could not, if you see, in the Grihastha plane, Lord Krishna himself could not stop the fight of the Yadava clan. If you remember, you read the Bhagavadam, the Yadavas got a shapam, right? So, he could not stop the karma from impacting them. So, he had to see everybody getting killed, right? He had to witness that, right? So, very, very, very important. So, the point that is coming out of all these is, even Bhagavan himself in that role, when he is playing the role of a Grihastha, he is going through all of these. Right? Very important. Right? So, none of these are actually under our control alone. We have a free will, but there is a powerful control of karma here. Therefore, jnana vastita chetasaha. Constantly remembering the atma ahankara difference if we are able to work in the real life, right? So, and Dayananda Swamiji Saraswati calls it inner space. Inner space is detachment between I, the atma, and ahankara. I should always remember, right? A grihastha jnani who remembers this inner space and who is able to quickly dwell in the inner space, he is jnana avasthita chetaha. The one whose mind remembers the Gita all the time. Therefore, only gata sangasya, one who does not want to have over attachment either with regard to his own body or attachment to the family, right? In the first chapter of the Gita, we saw raga, shoka, moha, attachment will lead to grief and delusion, leading to conflict, right? And in the second chapter, Krishna said raga will lead to bhayam and krodaha, fear and anger. Raga, bhaya, krodaha. Greater the attachment, greater the anxiety. This the grihastha jnani remembers. Therefore, he dilutes attachment, gata sangasya. Therefore, he is free from attachment due to jnanam and therefore only muktaha, right? Greater the attachment, greater the emotional disturbance and FIR reduction and triple C. What is triple C? Cheerfulness, calmness and confidence, right? This is the acid test for assimilation of Gita. Over a period of time, is our FIR reducing? Is our triple C increasing? This is muktaha, right? A measure of all this is muktaha, right? Free from emotional turbulence. Absolute zero is not possible, right? But from where we started, have we able to reduce, right? FIR, that is important, right? For your own sake, right? That's all. Muktasya and yajna charataha. Being a grihastha jnani, he continues to perform panchamaha yajna. A grihastha can never give up panchamaha yajna. He can reduce it because of certain valid reasons, but he cannot give up, right? So, Krishna says, grihastha jnani will continue to do the duty towards his spouse, the parents, right? Duty towards parents. Three generations we have duties. Our previous generation, our current generation, and our next generation. And he does all the yajnas. As a yajna, he performs karma acharataha. And for that jnani, samagram praviliyate. All the karmas will dissolve like roasted seed. It will not generate punyam or papam because he does not have any personal motive. He does not have any personal desires because jnanam has given him purnatvam. Because he is happy as he is. He is not working for happiness, but he is working with happiness, right? And desire has gone out, right? He doesn't have any discontentment, right? So, Atma Triptasya Manavaha, we saw earlier also, right? So, therefore, all the actions are for the sake of the well-being of the family and the world, right? Whatever Panchamaha Yajna he is involved in. Continuing. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam. Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam. Brahmaivatena Gantavyam. Brahmaivatena Gantavyam. Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahma Karma Samadhina. Now you might have noticed that there is a 5 stars marked here because this particular verse is the summary of the entire Upanishad. The Advaitam message of the Upanishad is presented here. The ultimate Advaitam non-dual message of the Upanishad, which happens to be the vision of a jnani. To understand this profound message, we have to remember some of our past discussions, right? And I'm hoping that many of you remember the past discussion. So I'm going to try and only touch upon the past discussion of the last 3-4 classes and try and, you know, complete this verse today. It's a very, very important verse, right? Okay. So the past discussion we had in the second chapter, we have to remember. From verse 12 to 25 of the second chapter, Krishna pointed out that every individual, we in this chapter also we discussed from 12 to 25, 12 to I think a few stanzas we discussed, but more in chapter 2, because chapter 2 we did elaborately. Krishna pointed out that every individual is a mixture of Atma and Anatma, and Atma is material principle, whereas Anatma is material principle, whereas Atma is spiritual principle. So thus every individual is made up of both material and spiritual principle. And we also discussed about the experience of a moving fan, right? The electricity is the invisible principle which is behind the fan. So similarly, Krishna says that the non-visible, non-material spiritual principle is behind the material principle, consisting of body, mind or brain, sense organs, everything. All of them are still matter only, whether it is mind, brain, sense organs, any of them, except that they are subtler, right? In Shastric language, all of them are born out of panchabhutas, and they are sustained by panchabhutas, and they will go back to panchabhutas. That anatma is panchabhautika material principle. I hope you recall what is panchabhautikam. I will anyway quickly go over it in some more time, but it is matter or material principle, right? And in the second chapter we saw that the material body is now alive and sentient, this material body, because of another principle called Atma, and in detail we studied about the features of the Atma, right? Now, this is the biggest difference between the statues which are there, right, and us. Why is it that we are able to move, talk, etc., whereas something that is made out of inert matter is not able to do that, right? It is Atma Tattvam, Chaitanya Tattvam, Chit Tattvam, Jnana Tattvam, all these words are used in English, consciousness principle, right? Then, if you remember, we asked the question, what is the nature of this consciousness which enlivens the body, right? We said consciousness has got five features, right? We should remember what are those features. Now, I hope that you are regularly revising this, because it is very important for our progress in the spiritual journey, right? So the meaning is given here, but you don't bother about it, because I don't think it is very understandable at this stage until I finish explaining it, right? So what are the five features of consciousness? Consciousness is not a product, part or property of the body. Consciousness is an invisible and independent entity which pervades and makes it live, right? Very important. Matter cannot produce consciousness, and therefore consciousness is not part of the body. It's a very big departure from science. Science believes that brain produces consciousness. Okay? So very important point, right? And the second thing we said is it's an independent principle, like the electricity which enlivens or activates the fan. Consciousness is an independent principle. 3. Consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. Consciousness extends beyond the periphery of the body, just as electricity is not confined to this fan alone. It extends beyond the fan also. This consciousness is a pervading principle. What is the example given? Like the space or akasha. The word akasha, right? Ambaram means akasha. Chitambaram means like akasha, all pervading like akasha. Chaitanyam, right? So we are worshipping Chaitanyam as akasha, if you actually see, or akasha as Chaitanyam, which is comparable to the third example of for consciousness, right? So what is the third feature? Consciousness is all pervading, therefore like akasha, right? Very important. And what is the fourth feature of the consciousness? Very, very subtle. It continues to exist even after the disintegration of the material body. Even when the body perishes, consciousness will continue, just as even after dismantling the fan, electricity will be there in that point. How do you check? If you touch, of course, you can find out, right? But it is not visible, right? It is not recognizable. Similarly, in the absence of the body, Atma, the consciousness, will continue to exist, but being invisible, we cannot register its existence, right? Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Very important verse of the second chapter. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhutaha. We saw that, right? We also saw weapons cannot destroy the body, right? And it can never, weapons can destroy the body, but can never destroy the spirit or Atma, the consciousness principle. We are all mixtures of Atma and Anatma. In fact, the entire creation is a mixture of Atma and Anatma, the changing matter and the changeless spirit. It is also referred to as Purusha and Prakriti. We are going to see about this also in another chapter of the Gita, right? Maya and Atma. So, spirit and matter, right? Very important, right? So, we saw about the extensive example of Purnami, moonlight, etc. I'm sure you remember that, right? So, we will not get into the example again, right? So, there is no such thing called moonlight. It is just sunlight that is pervading, right? Vedanta says, consciousness is on the body, but it does not belong to the body. It is distinct entity, right? This is called Atma Anatma Vivekaha. Therefore, we have to meditate on this for a long time, right? Only then we will be, because we are always claiming the mortal body, right? We don't claim the immortal Atma as self. So, Vedanta tells, you are declaring your ignorance, right? By actually celebrating the perishable bodies, you know, age, etc. We don't realize when we are, you know, connected with the ahankara, right? So, you are not the perishable mortal body. Mortal body belongs to the world's panchabhutas. It is inert and decaying principle. Therefore, gradually learn to take the body as a medium of transaction, just as we are using the spectacle for the eye, we are using hearing aid for the ears, right? We are just using this body as a medium of transaction. Vedanta says body and mind are like the two glasses of the spectacle. In the waking state and dream state, we use the spectacles, experience the world, and during deep sleep state, we keep aside the spectacle and we don't experience the world, but we continue to exist. So in Nididhyasanam, I have to learn to claim the immortal consciousness principle, right? So our entire life is preparation for that only, right? Very, very important. So, I'm not sure whether I read out the fifth feature. After death, the surviving consciousness is not available for transaction, not because it is not present, but because the medium of transaction is absent. Very, very important, right? So, first stage, we need to know that we are a mixture of body and consciousness. First, second stage is learning to claim that I am the Atma and Anatma is a medium. Actually, you find that it is easier to claim the first stage. I am a mixture of body and consciousness seems more appealing, right? But the second stage of claiming I am the Atma and Anatma is a medium, right, is where we have difficulty, right, in claiming. It takes a lot of time, right? Now, Upanishadic statement actually says what? Finally, until now we have talked about consciousness and matter, spirit and matter, Prakriti and Purusha, Atma and Anatma, that we have two things, two principles, matter and spirit. This is Dvaitam. Dvaitam means duality. Vedanta says, duality is not the ultimate truth. Duality is not the ultimate truth, right? It is Advaitam, right? What is Advaitam, right? In sleep, right? We experience Advaitam. Sleep means Ananda, right? So you are ready for it. So in reality, he says that there is no Anatma and Atma. The entire Anatma is Nitya, right? So a very, very important point, right? So when I wake up from my dream, right, then I realize that there is no dream world, right? So when I wake up, when I have the higher awakening, then I wake up from the waker's world, right? So Taittiriya Upanishad actually does it in a very different matter, right? Taittiriya second chapter, there is a famous portion, many of you might know. Let's see how Taittiriya Upanishad does. It's part of the chanting, right? Tasmad dva etasmad atmana akasha sambhuta akashad vayuhu vayor agnihi agnerapaha advaya prithivi prithivya oshadayaha oshadibhyonnam annat purushaha savayesha purushonna rasamayaha. It goes on and on. It says, from that Brahman, which is indeed this Atma, space is born. So the entire Anatma is dismissed, right? It is coming out of only Brahman, right? In this portion, the Upanishad says, really speaking, matter does not exist separately from consciousness principle. So this is the stage 3, right? Very, very important. Stage 1, you have body, you have consciousness principle. Stage 2, we are saying learn to associate yourself with the consciousness principle. Stage 3, we are saying it is Advaitam. There is no two principles at all. There is no Atma and Anatma, right? It is only Atma. The rest of it is all Mithya, right? Very, very important. So Upanishad says, really speaking, matter does not exist separately from consciousness principle, because ultimately before the evolution of matter, right, there was only one principle called Atma. Atma, Atma va idameva. Atma alone was there before. In several Upanishads, this is the statement, right? And at the appropriate time, right, with the power called Maya Shakti, right? Even in Saundarya Lahari, the first verse begins with Shiva Shaktya Yukto. Now when you go back and read the meaning, you will be able to relate. It relates to the Shakti, the Maya Sattvam of Brahman, right? The material universe evolved out of Atma. Thus, the material universe is a product born out of Atma. Therefore, what is the relationship between Atma and matter? We say Karya Karana Sambandaha. Karanam means cause, Karyam means effect or product. Karanam means is the cause of the entire Jagat or world, right? So we discover a profound corollary here, right? And all these are elaborated in the Upanishad. So Lord Krishna is giving the conclusion in the shloka. That's why I had to speak about all of this, right? So if you want to know the relationship between Karanam and Karyam, the very famous example that is given in the Vedanta and many of the texts is that imagine the example of several ornaments created out of one lump of gold, right? Originally, a lump of gold alone was there. And from that, the goldsmith produces several ornaments, right? So gold is Karanam, ornaments are Karyam. When you analyze the nature of the ornaments, you discover the truth. What? Really speaking, ornaments are not independent substances at all. Ornaments are nothing but one gold alone with different names and forms. There is no substance called bangle, no substance called ring. Then bangle is what? It is name and form. In Sanskrit, nama rupa. What is the substance? The substance is Karanam, gold only. Similarly, ring is not a substance. It is nama rupa, a particular configuration, right? Modern science also actually says what? You can reduce the entire creation into a few elements, then from elements to molecules, molecules to atoms and subatomic particles. So finally, a scientist may say, oh, this is all energy in motion, right? On inquiry, it's just non-tangible energy in high motion creates an illusion of this solid wall, right? So, what is our conclusion? Bangle is name and form, nama rupa. Chain is what? Name and form. Gold is the cause. Similarly, we experience many varieties of furniture. They are all nama rupas. The essential substance is wood. Similarly, we see rivers, lakes, clouds, oceans, etc. All of them are different nama rupa, right? There are no products separate from the cause, atma. So, atma is karanam, anatma is karyam. That means there is no such thing called the world. We may be afraid. There is no such thing called the world. Then what am I experiencing? According to Vedanta, we are only experiencing varieties of nama rupas, names and forms which are non-tangible principles. The stuff, the essence behind the entire creation is moola karanam. Behind the ornament, gold is the karanam. Behind the furniture, wood is the karanam. Behind the entire universe, the moola karanam is called atma. That's called Brahman, right? In religious language, that's called Bhagavan. You can use any word according to your comfort, your maturity level, whatever you are comfortable with. Bhagavan or God is the ultimate stuff of the universe, and God plus one particular nama rupa, another particular nama rupa, just different nama rupa start existing, right? So Bhagavan alone appears in the form of Akasha with one configuration, Vayu in another configuration, Agni in another configuration, Jalam in another configuration, and Prithvi or Earth in another configuration. So this is Pancha Bhuta or Pancha Bhautikam. So our entire Jagat, the world is, world, our body, everything is Pancha Bhautani. Bhutani. It is made up of Panchabhutani. It is sustained by Panchabhutani. And we also resolve into the Panchabhutas. Very, very important point. If you take the body, the composition itself, if you see maximum is water, then you analyze this, there's a temperature, tattvam, everything, right? So, now we have temples signifying this. So, today I thought I should bring that awareness so that when you go to these temples, you will now look at the Vedantic significance and understand better. So, Akasha Tattvam is actually worshipped in Chidambaram. And that is why they call it Chidambara Rahasyam. Because there is nothing there. It is Akasha Tattvam. Vayu Tattvam in Kalahasti. Agni Tattvam in Tiruvannamalai. And then we have Jala Tattvam in Jambukeshwara Kshetram in Tiruvannakaval. And Prithvi in Kanchipuram. Right? Very important. Thus, the Hindu Bhagavan is not a person sitting beyond the clouds in a particular place. No. We see Bhagavan in nature around us. Right? Initially, we symbolize Bhagavan as a person until we understand Vedanta. Right? When we understand Vedanta and say Bhagavan is everything, is the substance, the essential substance, and everything else is nama rupa, then after that there is you understand Bhagavan in everything, right? So, message is what? The stuff, the essential substance of the universe is consciousness. The stuff of the universe is existence. The stuff of the universe is Ananda. Sat Chit Ananda Atma or Brahman alone is Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Sarvam Shivamayam Jagat. Sarvam Devimayam Jagat. A wise person is aware of the gold when he is handling different ornaments. So, a wise person is aware of Brahman when he is handling the creation. Because the entire creation is that Brahman alone. Therefore, even when a jnani is performing a yaga for the well-being of the universe, a jnani performs the yaga, but he remembers what? Everything he handles is nothing but Brahman. Therefore, what is the highest vision? Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. What is plurality? Plurality is nothing but names and forms. Nama Rupa. which is elaborately discussed in the Upanishad. Krishna is giving a small trailer kind of peek, into it, so that you may get interested in the study of Upanishads later, right? So Lord Krishna gives the saram here, right? Very, very important saram, right? Look at this mantra. When you are eating, you should remember. So generally, this is supposed to be for, it's a very profound verse, but nowadays the yagas have come down so much, so we use it before eating. Because eating is also a kind of yajna, right? So when you are eating, you should remember, eater is Brahman, eaten is Brahman, eating instrument is Brahman, the place where I am eating is Brahman, everything is Brahman. So may you not forget this fact. In the case of a yajna, this is the message. What is the message? Brahmarpanam. Arpanam is the wooden ladle which is used for offering oblation into the fire, right? Or yaga, when a grihastha jnani performs his daily agnihotra ritual, he does this, right? Brahman with a particular nama rupa, right? That's all. So in this context, arpanam means the wooden ladle. What about the oblation? Brahma havihi, that is also Brahman. Brahma agnau, agni means the fire, the homa kundam, the fire. The receiver of the oblation is also Brahman with another nama rupa. Who is the one who offers the material? The yajamana or the ritualist is also Brahman. As a result of the yaga, a person may get or will get a better birth in the next janma. Yeah, yaga is considered to be a sacred karma. And through this yaga, I pray for sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha. The punyam will give the person a better birth. Whatever is the better birth, that's also Brahman. Brahmaiva gantavyam means the destination is also Brahman. The phalam or the fruit of the yaga is also Brahman. Brahma karma samadhina. The one who remembers the truth in and through the transaction, which is very difficult, right? Once we enter the transaction, we forget Bhagavan. It is exactly like watching a movie, remembering the screen, right? Very, very important. So, the ladle is Brahman, the offering is Brahman, it's offered into fire of Brahman by Brahman. Brahman alone is to be reached by him who sees Brahman in every action, right? So, all the time the jnani remembers that life is a drama, right? And essentially there is only one thing, that is Brahman. Brahma Karma Samadhi is title of a jnani who remembers Brahman, never losing sight of Brahman when he is engaged in activity, right? Very, very important. We also have a verse in Mundaka Upanishad, which is very, very similar to this, right? I just picked it up so that you can see it. It is 2.2.12, right? You can take a look at this verse. It's the same meaning, right? And very, very important is, this Jagat Mithyatvam is very, very rarely talked about in the Gita. One such shloka is this, and a very, very important shloka. The reason is dismissing the world is very difficult for a spiritual seeker, and most of the acharyas were also aware of it. So, in the tradition, we actually do not study Mandukya Upanishad in the initial stages. It's the 6th or 7th Upanishad that comes, and there is a word prapanchopashamam in that. And the dismissing of the world is described in a book, a full book in the Karika. The Upanishad by itself is very small, Mandukya Upanishad, but it is discussed in detail, right? And very, very convincing. Gaudapada Acharya has treated this portion very, very well. Hopefully, once we complete Gita and you all take up the study of Upanishads, you will come across this. So, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya Jeevo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So, I will stop with this. And Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Yeah, I can take any questions now. Please note that we do not have classes for the next 2 weeks. So So after that, if you can revise this portion and come, it will be better, because